going to school. But
good morning. If I can pull you back together, feel free to turn your chairs around so that you're comfortable and facing this way. Welcome to our men's breakfast. It's excellent to see you. And especially and a couple of new faces that are with us for the first time. It's great to have you as well. Just to say that we run this breakfast every 2 months on the first Saturday of every 2 months. So our next one will be on the 5th of May. And I'll tell you about the speaker at the end. He's known to many of you. And we welcome everyone who's free to join us. Whether you're a committed Christian or perhaps the world's biggest atheist, or somewhere in between, everyone is welcome. And we love it when people bring friends as well. We're normally at the Barley Mow, and that's where we'll be back to in May. But once a year, we have a slightly more reduced breakfast. We don't have a cooked breakfast, though I must say a huge thank you to Colin and the team for a lovely... So, a huge thank you, Colin. So once a year we put the proceeds of our breakfast to a charity, and it's a great privilege to be able to welcome Junior McDougall to be with us today. Many of you will know Junior already, maybe from being around in Huntingdon locally, or perhaps when he spoke at our men's breakfast a couple of years ago. And he shared a little bit of his story and his involvement with football. We're going to hear some of that again, but we're also going to hear a bit more of the charity that he runs called Sports Connections Foundation. So I'm going to say a short prayer, and then we're going to have a bit of an interview. I've got a few questions for him, but I hope you've got lots of questions to ask as well. And then we'll wrap up at about 9:15, so that we can get this room ready for the women's breakfast, which is happening after ours.
So they just leave them here.
We'll leave the tables, but I think they're bringing their own breakfast. They get a line, don't they? Well, let's have a little prayer, and then let's get to know Junior. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to meet together. Thank you for our friendship and for the chance to meet. Thank you for the food and those who prepared it. Thank you, Lord, for Junior and for his story and the work that he's involved in. Please may this be an inspiring and encouraging time together now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Junior, do you want to come up here? And it'd be lovely just to get to know you a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your background growing up in Huntingdon. How things were sort of in the first part of your life.
Yeah, no problem at all. It's good to be amongst loads of experience. I love it amongst the men, very rare. And I think you looked before you shared that comment, didn't you, about women washing up.
We'll get in big trouble.
Like, yeah, there's nothing I can say that. Obviously I've got the privilege of knowing a few of you, but Junior McDougald, born in America. Parents divorced, snapshot is parents divorced, so ended up coming over to England and came to Huntingdon, as many of you know, we all classed it as the London overspill. Parents divorced and on the sort of river streets on the Oxmoor, which obviously fond memories, many of you know. So that was where I sort of, grew up basically.
Brilliant.
And then went to Thongsley Fields in Huntingdon Primary School before going to Hinchinbrook. And then it was whilst at Thongsley, you can ask away about that, but it was whilst at Thongsley when I first started getting into sport and
fantastic
football and stuff. Yeah.
We'll come on to the sport. Life wasn't all easy growing up. Not always easy, and it's not easy for all of us. And you shared a bit last time about some of the family struggles and things like that. But tell us about getting into football and sort of where things went from there.
Yeah, it was interesting. And by the way, I'm an open book, and if it comes to asking questions, I don't shy away from anything in that respect. And like we shared last time, really, really struggled at school. It was more of a social occasion, really. It was just about football and girls. That's the only two things I'm interested in. And primary school, I used to get in a lot of trouble. But what a lot of people didn't know at that time, my mum had gone to prison, a single parent family. So her going to prison, it was like, oh, okay, there was no real sort of role models for me or anything like that. And then I was in the care system as well, so being passed left, right and centre, thinking, what's going on? And then, discovered as Alan, who I'm a big fan of, and I think I mentioned him last time, but when it comes to sports and, you know, being a positive role model for young people, he was amazing. And I was at Thongsley and wanted to go to his school, actually, because everyone raved about his sport and everything else. But long story short, I was 9 and then discovered, which is quite late, because a lot of kids now, they're playing at 4, 5, and they're at all these different clubs. So I wasn't. My mum at the time wondered, what's he going to do? Discovered that I was very athletic and, loved athletics. And then pretty much overnight become okay at football. And then got spotted playing for Rowdies. So I grew up playing for Rowdies, a local team. Then got spotted whilst playing for Rowdies in the school team for the county team. And then you had like the county reps. I got selected for East Anglia. And then there was a scout, a Tottenham scout, at one of the county games. I'd scored a hat-trick and asked me to sort of go down and sort of come down. I had no way to get down to London, but my stepdad had come on the scene at the time, and I remember the first ever time going down from here to London, the car broke down. My first ever training session, and it was white hot lane. They were training on the pitch, so as we got there, my first time ever, I was buzzing. It was the team that I supported as well, by the way. And then, sorry, Don. Sorry.
I'm the opposite.
That's okay. I've got nothing but love for Arsenal. Honestly, I promise.
We win more.
You do. I can't argue. Look, I can't even argue, can I? See, I'm pro Arsenal. All the young kids were coming out off the pitch. So it was probably years later that I actually got a chance to actually play at White Hart Lane on the pitch. So it was basically that's where my football journey sort of started.
Fantastic. And we saw from the programme that Brian put together, you've had a career in a lot of different teams. Tottenham Hotspur was where it began, and then other places too. Can you segue us from the sports side into the faith side? What was it that brought you to Christian faith and to understanding the Christian message and how it impacted you?
It's a good question, because I think I don't know about, you know, lots of you guys, I wasn't brought out in a Christian household at all. So the only sort of two people that I knew were Christians really was my auntie and uncle. They'd come over from America. They ended up living with us, sort of here. And, you know, when there's just, you're around people and there's just something different about them. Yes, they were my auntie and uncle, but they were talking about this Jesus and, you know, how he changed their life. And I thought, okay, you know, from a young age. And again, never went to church, but then started going out occasionally with them. And my fondest memories, and it's funny because we're doing it this morning, is the food. So I would literally, you know, thinking, oh, a bit boring, but we get all this food afterwards. So I was sort of happy about that. But honestly, over the years, spending time with them, you know, it was just, there was just something different. They just had this peace, this joy, this happiness. And obviously they sort of said it was because of their relationship with Jesus. And over the years, I might not have said everything all the time or had loads of questions for them, but I would look at their lives and there was just something amazingly different about them compared to the people that I was around and stuff. So it made me look. And then they opened this thing called the Bible with me occasionally, and I just had loads of questions. What about this? What about that? What about suffering? What, you know, so that was sort of the beginning of finding out about who this Jesus was. And then it was whilst at Tottenham, I'd actually, in my journey as a professional footballer, now at 14, I went from Hinchinbrook, fortunate enough to get selected to play for England. So I went to this FA National School at Lillishall. So I'm now playing with England, with people like Sol Campbell and your David Beckhams, all them sort of people. And it was just unbelievable. And I also, at 14, I had my professional contract guaranteed and signed. So I was given thousands of pounds as a 14-year-old, which was quite rare, playing for England. And I'm now 17, thinking, well, I've got everything materialistically I need and stuff, you know. This is it. I'm playing for England, playing for the team that I supported, and there was still something missing. And obviously, spending that time out in uncle, and it was, you know, through different struggles and stuff, I thought, well, I was in Neasden in London. I remember just sort of saying, look, if you can make a difference, this is to Jesus, I said, no fancy words or anything like that. I said, if you can make a difference in my life, like you have in theirs, then I want it. Mm-hmm. But I did say also, but I'm going to struggle giving up girls and all that business. but no, honestly, and my auntie and uncle said something that was really profound for me. Just said, Junior, you just come as you are. Just come as you are, warts and all. Mm. And that Jesus will change you from the inside out, and it's a journey. Mm. So from the age of 17 to I'm 49 now, it's just been the best journey, best decision, you know, ever. So
let's stay on that for a moment, because I think a lot of people think that Christianity is about doing stuff for God, coming to church, saying our prayers, giving to charity. We're going to think about charity in a moment, but what was it you said come as you are? What did you find was at the heart of the Christian faith?
Yeah, I think, and I shared this, it's funny, because I was on, is it Premier Radio? I was interviewed on there not too long ago, and nothing will change, you know, it's not like my testimony is going to change to suit an audience and stuff, it's just, my story is my story. But I remember, and I always say this, I don't ever see Jesus saying, become religious. He just says, get to know me. It's about relationship. So for me, the most freeing thing is that this relationship, this real relationship that we can have with someone that's given his life, you know, he's just unbelievable, the biggest legend. When this word, we were talking about it with Tony, and these footballers that are classed as legends. Jesus is a legend. Look at his life and what he done. You know, he done more than just, you know, scoring in the World Cup final or something. He's a little bit special. So understatement. But, you know, it's about relationship. It's not about religion. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not trying to be good enough, because none of us are.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, think of some questions that you want to ask Junior about that later on. Let's move on a few years. You've been a footballer. Sadly, through an injury, you had to step back from your footballing career, and that must have been really hard, especially because it's clear that you were very much at the top flight of your game.
What so, injury?
It was a back operation, back injury. So we were sort of sharing, joking aside, my wife had to help me put my shoes on this morning. Yeah. And I know a lot of you would know what that's like, but it is what it is, it's not a problem.
Yeah. If you want to ask a bit more about that later on, please do. So now you've started Sports Connections Foundation, SCF, and that's what we're thinking about for the next question. Tell us about it. Tell us a bit about what you do, and then maybe one or two stories of lives that have been helped or changed by it.
Yeah, quite simply. I mean, in all my professional football career, and I've shared a little bit about my background upbringing, so that then has formed sort of how I look at life and can I help and make a difference. So during my professional football career, I was privileged to be able to, you know, play my part by helping children. It might be sponsoring this or working with disadvantaged children. And it was actually when I was just become a Christian, I was at my aunt and uncle's friend's church in Bedford, and overseer Barna Guy just sort of said, you know, even as a young age, he said, when you're older, you'll end up working with young people. And at the time, I'm like, yeah, you know, you just think you're going to play professional football forever, short-lived career. And it was almost like fulfilled, because my heart, I suppose my number one passion was just trying to help children that have either been through similar situations like myself, you know, that haven't had any positive role models. And I was like fortunate, blessed, that only one in 2,000 will ever make it as a professional athlete. And I don't mean make it as in the dizzy heights of what we see today with some of these superstars. I'm talking about, you know, being blessed, paid for something you enjoy doing and playing professional football. So it was, and I'll do this, by the way, as I'm getting older now, losing my train of thought. So just keep, I said to Charlie, keep me on track, because I go off like this. We were just talking about, ask the question again and I'll get to the point.
So we were thinking about the injury and then how that moved you on to SCF. And your friend said, you'd be working with young people.
That's it, sorry, yeah. So my lived experiences is what sort of shaped. And then 14 years ago, with a friend, set up Sports Connects Foundation, and it's trying to use the power of sport, the transformative power of sport at all, to try and either develop, you know, a couple of things, positive futures, so working with disadvantaged, vulnerable children. So it's about journeying with them, sort of in their formative years, you know, then continuing that journey, helping with transition. And then basically, it's about then sort of trying to provide exit routes and career pathways. So we're trying to build, yes, we play, you know, positive play, play sports and get alongside them and mentor and, you know, just care for them and try and address a lot of the problems that they have, whether it's at home, you know, they might be in care, they might have, you know, challenging behaviour issues, all these different, you know, amazing young people. But we want to provide career pathways, not just say, right, brilliant, we're supported, you're on you go, you're now an adult, see you later. It's trying to, so we've got like relationships with like Red Bull Racing, where we can provide sort of opportunities, and we want to create conveyor belts into different business industries, and also get them alongside individuals that have got experience through business or whatever it might be. I mean, there's plenty of people in this room, you'll have experiences that young people would love to hear, because, you know, guidance and stuff like that. So we also provide, and I'll pass them around, but sporting wishes. So we lost my little cousin when he was 4, sort of Zach, and I know what that has and what it does to a family. But we also provide what's called sporting wishes, and that's making dreams come true for poorly children. So recently, and this is where I was coming to, Don, the good news is we've got Nigel Winterburn, who's an ex-Arsenal legend, one of our ambassadors, Oscar, the little boy in here, and sorry, there is a few up. You can, you know, pass them
what
around.
What about Wrighty?
I'll answer. That's why we're going to hang out afterwards, aren't we, and talk about that. But Oscar is literally from Godmanchester. So these are local children and battling cancer. His dream was to, you know, meet the Arsenal players and stuff like that. So literally
how far
recently.
Back or now?
So this is recently done. So what we done is we arranged for him and another family to go to Arsenal, the training ground with Arteta, and have lunch with them, and they received lots of signed memorabilia, shirts from them, everything. So to make dreams come true for poorly children is amazing. So
I'm poorly.
So they're two. So they're the two things we do. We've got a schools program where we try and you know, increase health and well-being of young people. So we've engaged with about 586,000 kids now across the country. And then we've got a very small international project where we're trying to use sport and education to help guide children away from a life of poverty. Excuse me. So that's the charity. That's 14 years. Mm. I still work, like, we're very much in the infancy, and we are in a critical position now where we're trying to raise awareness and vital funds for the amazing children that we're helping. Privileged to support.
You've mentioned Oscar. Can you give us another story of maybe someone whose life has been touched or helped through the work?
Yeah, in terms of faith, or you turn
just in terms of someone maybe with a life changing or life threatening disease,
I mean, Kathy, our sporting wish coordinator, who's a Christian, amazing woman, and she has the privilege, and we have the privilege of when. For example, children, when they are, say they're at Addenbrooke's, gruelling treatments, long hospital stays, we have that privilege. And the thing is, it's not just a sporting wish, it's afterwards. You know, I mean, we've attended, which, you know, is really, really difficult, attending the funerals of some of these children, because you build really good relationships. But the reason we're there, and we had a card recently from, this is recent as well, and a young lad called Mason. And his dream was to go and meet the England rugby players. So we arranged that, so he's with all the England sort of rugby players, had an amazing time. We got a card recently, and it's from Sarah, his mum, just wanted to say, you actually gave Mason his very last day out, because 2 weeks afterwards he passed away. And so it was really tough, but we're able to get alongside these families. So believe it or not, when a young person dies, they don't get the support that you think. We hear about Macmillan and all these amazing charities, by the way, but these families don't get the support. So behind the scenes, we're not only just praying for them, loving them, but we're actually able to build these relationships with the families and the children, and sorry, those that are left. So, wow. And also a sporting wish can help you get over an illness. So kids that are battling cancer and different struggles, there's real hope. So we've seen children that I've got something to look forward to, you know. So it's been amazing. I could tell you endless stories about you know, what we've seen and the impact and everything else. So it's a privilege to serve these children and families.
Brilliant. Well, Junior, we'll I'm just going to slot this in at this point, and you're not here. You're here to tell your story and not to raise funds. But I just want to say that it's an amazing work, and that if anyone can support in any way, either through business contacts or financial support, that will only help more kids be helped in the future. So make sure you think about that as we go away from here. But the final question from me is, we've thought a bit about your faith and we thought a bit about charity. Have you got a Bible thought that brings those together, or something from your faith that motivates you in the work that you do?
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of people, setting up a charity, I love it. So it feels like a calling, a purpose. I can't imagine doing anything else. It's like, if God said, look, you've got X amount of years left, I wouldn't suddenly be scrambling thinking, what else could I do? I'd be happy to, you know, grow the charity, leave a legacy so that we can sort of help children. But you know, that doesn't make me good, if that makes sense. You know, we're never good enough, because obviously it's not about good works. You can't earn your way into heaven. Mm-hmm. And there is, I mean, there's a verse, if I don't mind. I mean, it's funny, I'm old-fashioned. I love reading, so I love the Bible, you know, but I've got it on the phone as well. Modcons now, you can just sort of switch on your phone. But it's interesting, if there's a guy that some of you might have heard about in the Bible book, Paul, and if you talk about what I call real wrong-uns, like when we talk about our past, which we've all got, we all know, there's no one sitting here thinking, no, I've been, you know, we've all got past. But if you read or get with someone who might be a Christian and say, who's this Paul? Let me, you know, Junior was talking about this guy called Paul. Unbelievable background, but then God really sort of dramatically changed his life, and he became one of the most sort of famous evangelists, sort of, you know, someone who's just sort of sharing this gospel, this good news. And it talks about, it says, look, here, it says, this is in Ephesians, a letter that he's sort of written to, but it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So it's about faith, you believe through your faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. And it says, not by works, so that no one can boast. So as a professional footballer, you know, there's times when you just, you're sort of full of yourself, because you think, oh, you know, and you get attention and you're playing on TV, or you get fan base and stuff like that. But equally, it's got nothing to do with it. You know, they're just gifts. They're just, you know, they come from God. And it's the same with running a charity. It's a good work in terms of, I love doing it, but the bottom line is it's grace. You know, I'm not saved, it's not by running a charity, it's not going to get me into heaven, but Jesus can, you know, and if I just accept his free gift of salvation, but of grace. So we believe through faith. So that's what I thought, you know, again, afterwards, feel free, unpack it. I'll stick around, not a problem at all, though I know we've got to get out. But yeah, so that's sort of probably a scripture, but have a look. I always say, have a look at yourself. Don't just hear, you know, it might be Charlie or others. You can read it for yourself and find out about these people that can speak into our lives.
Fantastic. Junior, thank you so much. And if you're interested in hearing about other people's lives who've come to faith, on the way out there, just on the table, I've got a couple of free books. This one is the story of different sportsmen and women who've got to the top of their game, and then either early on or later in their life, they've found Christian faith. So please take one of those. also, you'll enjoy this. For those of you who are a bit older, I've got a book called Sagas. And it's the story of people that have found Christian faith after 50. So if that would help you or a friend, please just take one for free. That's absolutely fine. Everyone a winner, or Sagas. On the way out, that'd be great. It's over to you now. We've got a few minutes. Who would like to ask a question and go to it? Rob.
Junior, you mentioned international. Whereabouts are you supporting this project?
Yeah, we've got a very small project in Burkina Faso. So I've had the privilege of being out there a few times. Even took ITV Anger out there, sort of, you know, years ago, but we're not allowed to travel at the minute. It's so unsafe and so difficult. So Denny, who's from Burkina Faso, so he's on the ground, so he's our Inspire Through Sport lead. He's working with currently about 100 displaced children and young people from an orphanage. So it's unbelievable, and it's so interesting because, like, we find out how's it going, and real matter of fact. And I know there's all stuff going on in the wars and stuff, but it's like, yeah, it's going well. I've been working with these children, but we've had to move at our home because of terrorist attacks. So we've not got anywhere to stay at the minute. But we're working with a kid, and you're just thinking it's unbelievable what people are dealing with to make a difference to these kids and their families. So, yeah, so please, for those that believe and do pray, his name's Denny, and he's doing an amazing job, and we'd love to see him supported because we're only limited to what we can do. So it's West Africa, Burkina Faso.
Where are you based in the UK, Junior?
Here. So here, Huntingdon.
So is it like a stadium? Is it a suite of offices?
Suite of offices, I'd love it. We literally, by the way, we are a charity. It sounds glamorous, and I'd love to say all these amazing sports stars are giving us money. We are literally, I mean, Charlie gets it on the phone for me. Please pray, we've got nothing. We literally live hand to mouth. When I say hand to mouth, we are struggling massively financially, and so are other charities. It's not just us. But we were at the Market Square.
I wasn't trying to be clever when I said
No, yeah. No, okay.
Just
okay.
Tell me what your facilities were.
So our offices are, we're in the Market Square, where, you know, the church is there,
yes,
in Huntingdon. So, and basically it's a space where we operate from, but we're able to teach life skills and get young people in there to be able to sort of, like, you know, from CV, career support, as well as mentoring and, you know, going through issues. So we've got some brilliant youth workers, really, really good guys, a couple of good guys. And we work with other organisations, Christian organisations locally, like Thrive and stuff. Mm. So, but yeah, it's different. The sporting wishes are obviously, you know, out and about. But we're blessed to have that. And that's just for a friend who gave us some space. So he said, look, it's a space, we're not using it. We painted it, got some carpet in, and that's where we're currently operating from.
Brilliant. It's a really good location overseeing that town square, isn't it?
Yeah, because we use the church, we've got like a youth sports caf as well. So we have about 20, 30 plus children every, you know, Monday without fail. Another youth sports hub in Brampton where we can sometimes have about 40 to 50 kids. We've got all these different projects, Thursday night project up on, you know, on the Oxmoor, which we love. So there's loads going on every single week.
Brilliant. Another question.
Not so much of a question, but did you know that at University of Cambridge have a science week, and it's very much for children to go, see things that are really interesting, but there's obviously some of the children will be inspired and say, I want to do that when I grow up. Mm. And it is very good. I mean, my great nephew went and he just loved it, do you know what I mean? It's like, when I said to him, what do you want to be when you grow up, he said, well, I either want to be a bricklayer or an astronaut. Yeah. Now, there's not a lot of difference, is there? But that, when they're eight, you see what I mean? Yeah. Like, that inspired him, yeah, to think, and then, of course, now he's 14, he's in science, I want to do something like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it very much helped him. So I'm,
that's really,
yeah,
helpful,
giving dad,
thank you,
call him, yeah, in March.
Yeah.
But okay, it's really good.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's free.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be doing some stuff in Wisbeach as well. Just had a meeting with the county council yesterday. So that's really good to know because we do that. It's not sports at all, but it's unlocking the potential of these amazing young people where we can, you know, STEM, you know, there's loads of good stuff, directions, places we're trying to push them.
Brilliant. Thanks, Graham. Well, if you want to connect on that afterwards about the science thing, that'd be good.
I could ask another one, but I don't.
Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah, we'll come back to your second question. Thanks, Dave. Sorry,
very much a football question.
Yeah.
I've heard other footballers talk about the void that's left when they no longer are able to run on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Was that bad for you, and how did you cope with it?
Well, as you can tell, I'm not really running off the pitch. It's funny. It's almost like a mourning process for a lot of players. A lot of my friends really, really struggle. And again, when we talk about, you know, being a Christian, I'm so thankful to God because I've still got purpose. And basically, your identity, so many people's identity, you know, I'm a professional footballer. No, that's just what you do. But so many footballers struggle with that. Their whole identity is wrapped up. So it is a struggle because it's, you know, you're still young when you retire, when you stop playing. Even if you have an amazing career and you play to your 40, still young. So it's hard because, you know, it was a blessing being paid for something you enjoy doing. So, but I've got to admit, I love, absolutely love with a passion equally, And again, this is someone coming from someone that done got to do what his dream job was, loved trying to transform the lives of young people. Mm. So rather than trying to win promotions and, you know, FA Cups, whatever it was, to now being able to sort of see the difference that we've been able to make in lives of young, you know, people and families and what it means to them. I love it, absolutely love it. Thank you.
Do you meet many Christians in football teams that you've played with?
Yeah, it's so much more normal because culturally you get an influx of, you know, lots of different, you know, people in the Premier League, where when I was a Christian, when I became a Christian at 17, so Tottenham, and then when I went to Brighton after Tottenham, and I remember, you know...
Oh, you went downhill.
I did.
That's how you go about it.
Yeah.
Instead of going uphill like Arsenal...
absolutely. See, I had to overcome.
Is going down.
I had to overcome, didn't I? So yeah, but sitting on a team bus, now you're on your mobile phones, right? But then I would sit down, and the boys are watching what they're watching. But sitting with a Bible, I used to get ripped for fun. Absolutely, like, you know, because, you know, if you don't read the Sun newspaper, you would get stick. It was like, it was just that environment, insecurity and stuff like that. Exactly, for a lot of them. it was interesting, to say the least. But now it's very much, and there's loads of you know, Christians in sport, and I had the privilege of getting alongside professional footballers and opening the Bible with them as well, in my role at Christians in Sport.
Now, you do see them, well, as you say, the foreign players quite often crossing themselves before a match, and they must have a Christian belief.
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's the English reserve. We're very sort of more, a little bit more sort of quiet.
Some of us, during lockdown, one of our breakfasts that was online was with Graham Daniels from Christians in Sport, and they work with elite sports people who are Christians, and you know Graham very well, don't you?
Yeah.
We'll try and get Graham back again sometime. He's got a lot of work with sports people. I think Graham had another question, unless anyone else... Yeah, we'll come back to Graham.
Junior, can I ask, do you find generally that professional sports have got time for your Sports Connection charity? I mean, for example, if you phoned up and said you've got a youngster here who wanted to spend a day, say, with Formula One, that generally speaking, you'd get a positive response, or are these organisations a bit too busy to sort of take on board?
It's a good question. I mean, we've been fortunate, and it's in the name in terms of connections, so it's trying to use our connections to open doors. So, yeah, it can be really tricky. But you've got the power of social media now. So Kathy, it's like if we haven't got... We took some children recently to Man City. In an executive box, one wants to become a chef, the other one wants to become an agent. So we were able to talk and introduce them to people about hospitality. We could never have done that, because that would have cost about £20,000 for that match, for that game. That was through connections with the PFA and other organisations. So they're very good, and we have got some good connections, but we're trying to grow that so that we can provide more opportunities for kids. So, we're doing okay with connections, but it's just the funding to, you know, travel or to help the kids get there. It's like, oh, or Kathy, who's, you know, in her role as a sporting wish coordinator for us. Mm-hmm.
Graham, I think you've got...
Well, as I said, you just mentioned about, in a sense, witnessing on the bus with the fellow footballers, and yeah, you're going to get a lot of ribbing, I mean, that's for sure. But when it came, sort of putting that side, the football side away, was you able to witness to family? I mean, personally, that's one of the hardest things I have in my life, is to witness to family members.
Mm. You know? Yeah.
It's never too late. I was 46 before I became a Christian. Mm. And I'm aware that sometimes people start changing their mindset when they get older. Mm. It suddenly starts hitting them a little bit. You know, well, you know, what's going to happen to me? What am I going to do now? Because I'm retired, and that sort of thing. But generally, have you been able to witness to relatives?
Yeah, I mean, you try and live your life to, you know, demonstrate that. I mean, it's funny, my mother-in-law, we travel back and forth to Livingston Ann's at the minute, because she's terminally ill. So of course we're desperate, and me and my wife, you know, Vicky, we're going up there praying, spending time. John is literally, no, don't believe, don't believe, don't believe, don't believe. But yeah, almost he's seeing his wife, my mum, mother-in-law, sort of knowing that she hasn't got long. It could be literally any week. And it's so tough, because you just say, look, say she does pass away, she will pass away. And you're absolutely right. You only, you know, to believe, to sort of, you know, Jesus has paid the price. He's saying that, I've got you forever. Just believe. It's not, you know, and the stubbornness in lots of us just go, I don't want to, or for different struggles. But my nan and granddad, they gave their life to the Lord. They become Christians. Literally, my nan, who's battling cancer, gave her life to the Lord pretty much on her deathbed. My granddad, my auntie, you know, shared with him, and he finally, you know, realised that this Jesus does pursue because he loves us so much. And, right, you know, so yeah, so it's never, ever, ever too late. It is tricky, whether it's friends and family, but it's you just try and live your life, don't you? Because people don't care what you've got to say until they know how much you care. Mm. So you just keep living your life, being real, being yourself, being authentic. Mm. Mm. Thank you.
As you got off the Oxmoor, you're obviously very successful now. Well, Apple, sorry. Successful in charity. Yeah. When you visit the Oxmoor, because you now have, you've got empathy towards youngsters. Mm. You have to talk to the youngsters about, because you're a real person to them, mm. about them, that life's not over, that they've got a future. Because I know a lot on the Oxbow, a lot of children think they're in trouble because they've got nothing to look forward to. But,
yeah.
See, it's on television, but you're a real person with them. So do you give them a chance to confidence to think they've got a life?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of my biggest passions in what we do is trying to unlock their potential, raise aspirations, and exactly say, not just me, there's other boys and girls. I mean, some of you might know, but a guy called Paul Field, who went to Thongsley, was told that he would amount to nothing. He's been instrumental in Red Bull Racing. You know, he's provided opportunities galore for people locally. You know, Red Bull Racing, world champions. I mean, honestly, he comes into a Huntingdon office and helping with strategy and things like that. And we literally last week took some children to Red Bull Racing, so it's incredible. So absolutely, that is what the charity is about, unlocking, you know, opportunities, raising aspirations and daring children to dream.
Fantastic. Probably time for one last question.
Can I just ask a really silly question?
No question is too silly.
You know, before you gave your heart fully to the Lord, Junior,
yeah,
who was your biggest hero in that journey up
I'll just speak, and this is like literally, I was talking about lack of role models, but I did have one that made the difference, and it was almost part of why Set Up the Chariot meant so much as well, is that a guy called Alan Dalrymple. He, you know, a few of you would know, but little Scotchman sadly passed away through dementia sort of recently, you know, his battle. But on the Oxbow, he was the one that, if I was getting into trouble and stuff like that, if he found out, we wouldn't be playing on a Sunday. So if I mucked around at school, but yeah, he was responsible for absolutely supporting thousands and thousands of young people over the years. So he was certainly one before becoming a Christian. And even as a Christian, he was still, like, you know, still inspirational and still a blessing. And playing for England, I remember he was one of the first I wanted to give an England shirt to. You know, when I become a professional footballer, you know, for him. So he was definitely a role model. My stepdad, when he came on the scene, taking on me and my sister and my mum, you know, just amazing. So individuals like that, as professional footballers, I mean, there's a few that, Cyril Regis, a guy who, you know, was amazing as well in my life as a mentor and support as well. So yeah, but certainly it's local people, and that's what's so powerful about you guys, the impact that you can have on friends, family, workplaces. Honestly, you just keep doing what you're doing for those that do, and for those that don't know who this Jesus is, explore, get around someone, ask these questions, because I'm telling you, it's a game changer, literally, excuse the pun, but what Jesus can do in our lives.
Fantastic.
Can I just ask one quickly before we finish, John? One of the problems I think today with young people, well, it's not the young people who are the problem, it's getting adults to supervise young people. And because of the type of society that we live in now, a lot of people, a lot of adults who perhaps were working with young people, say, for example, scoutmasters, that sort of thing, but it would be the same in all fields, is that a lot of people are shying away now from working with young people because of the sort of liturgical situation now that we that we live in. Now, this is a real problem for the future, isn't it? Because a lot of us grew up, you know, in scout troops and things like that, and we had role models who were scoutmasters and things. But these people are sort of not coming forward now. Now, this potentially is a problem for the future of our young people. Have you thought of that?
Very, very quickly, again, I'll always, always bring it back to someone who is bigger than any problem. So Jesus will provide. I mean, you look at his life, look at him. He went through all sorts, of crap, excuse the pun, but, you know, what he went through. People will lie about you. In the charity sector, working with young people, you know, safeguarding's massive, absolutely massive. And I ultimately believe, well, do you shy away as you know, people, or do you say, especially if it's a calling you feel compelled to, I want to make a difference regardless. And if that means, you know, making sure safeguarding everything is absolutely top level, then so be it. But I totally understand what you're saying, but I just think there's too much need, you know, these not just young people, older people, you know, you name it, we need to reach out as Christians. We've got to step out and be bold and be courageous, and if that's just putting it out, then that's what we have to do, really. So,
and by having the higher standards of safeguarding, we actually are opening doors rather than closing doors. That's how it should be. We're providing a safe environment so that we can do the work that we want to do. So it should help. We must press on, because I can see the ladies have arrived, and we need to... we'll wrap things up now. Just a couple of things as we close. Next time, which is the 5th of May... it's the 4th of May. 4th of May, we've got Clifford Owen speaking to us. Now, many of you will know Clifford. He's a retired vicar who's very active in the local area and here at All Saints Hartford. He's in his 80s, and last summer he cycled from Land's End to John O'Groats. And he's going to be speaking a little bit about that story and some of the spiritual kind of lessons that he learned as he went. And those of you who listened to Thought for the Day on the local radio will recognise the title. It's under the title of Mind How You Go on the Road, which is his catchphrase that he signs off when he speaks on the radio. So that should be, he's always got great stories to tell and a lot of interesting perspectives. So do come back on the 4th of May. Those of you who are interested, Junior has kindly agreed to speak at our Sunday afternoon outreach service on the 5th of May, which we call the Carpenter's Arms. It sounds like a pub, but it's the carpenter, of course, is the Lord Jesus, and his arms are open wide to everyone. And we run this once a month, including tomorrow afternoon. Some of you from different churches support us in this, and you're always welcome. And if you do bring friends from your church, we won't steal them. We'll send them back with you. But if you want to come and bring friends when Junior is speaking on the 5th of May, please do come and join us. That's 3:00 at the Coney Gear Centre. It's always the first Sunday of the month, so we'll be there tomorrow afternoon. Flyers like this are on the desk on the way out as well. I think apart from saying a big thank you to again to Colin and the team, also a big thank you to Junior. It has been inspiring hearing what you've been saying. And that middle word, sports connections, we've all got connections. Let's use those connections to help promote this work where we can. This is a local charity, we're local people, let's back this, and let's use those connections to make connections for Jesus Christ as well. Let me finish with a prayer, and then it's all hands on deck as we clear the decks for helping the ladies for their breakfast after this. Heavenly Father, thank you for those verses from the Apostle Paul that Junior pointed us to. It is by grace we are saved through faith and not by works. Thank you, Lord, that it's not our goodness that gets us to you. But we thank you it's through what Jesus did and his grace to undeserving people like us. Help us to grasp that grace more fully. And then rather than that closing down opportunities for good works, please may that promote in our hearts and in our lives good works that you've prepared in advance for us to do. So we pray for Junior and for his work. Lord, we pray for all the funds and the connections and the help that this ministry needs. Please help us to consider our part in that. And please help all of us, Lord, to use the connections that we have to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on.